This morning, we talked about what it means to be a Christian, the Christian life. So I thought tonight that we would look at a subject that I think that all of us might need to know and understand, and that might be able to help and edify us as we continue on this race to our heavenly home. So tonight, if you would join me in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to begin our reading at verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. And the Bible reads, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of our God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Tonight, let's talk on the subject, living a faithful life. Living a faithful life. As we read the book of Philippians, there are probably about four major themes that Paul breaks down here to the church here at Philippi. One is that he talks about the gratitude of their support for his work. Paul, being a missionary preacher, was going around the world that is known of that time, preaching and establishing churches of Christ. And in doing so, there were those who were of great support to him, not only spiritually, but monetarily. So one of the things that Paul does here to the church of Philippi is that he gives gratitude to them for their support for his work. And then he encourages them to have strength to endure persecution. He also gives praise to a fellow brethren that had delivered the letter for him, and one that was standing in the faith. But then he warns them. He warns them to walk diligently so that they might be able to prevent disunity from internal sources and from sources from outside. He also wants to warn them to stay away from internal strife and from doctrinal division. They were to be careful also, to be careful with those of the body that may be having some personal disagreements, and that they were to handle these things with peaceful mediation. But when false doctrine is taught, they were to be strong on the word by putting down this false doctrine on spiritual or scriptural basis. Because whenever false doctrine comes into effect, it will pervert the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In particular, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the Judaistic teachers who would try to sow this discord amongst the churches, attempting to try to undermine the salvation that was taught about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, these teachings that Paul is teaching throughout the kingdom, these teachings and many more throughout the scriptures, They should be keys to help us as Christians to remain faithful. Because understand this fact, that not everyone who obeys the gospel, not every Christian that comes in obedience to the word of God, not everyone will remain faithful to the Lord. This was taught when we look at the parable of Jesus and of the seed and the sower. Over in Matthew chapter 13, some of you know the story very well. It says that they went out and sold seed, and the seed being the word of God. And it says that some fell by the wayside, some fell on the stone, some were choked by thorns, and then there was some that fell on good soil. And out of the three or out of the four that was mentioned, we notice that Jesus would say that three of them received the word. It's that they heard it and they believed it. But two-thirds of them fell away. So it is a fact. It is a fact that not everybody who becomes a Christian stays faithful to the word of God. So as we look at this text, we want to examine what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us, what the Apostle Paul is trying to ingrain in us, in order that we might be able to stay faithful to the Lord. Look again at the text in verse number 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You see, the first thing we need to understand is that in order for us to live a faithful life, we need to look at ourselves in a realistic way. We need to examine ourselves to see where we stand. Notice what Paul says. He says here that I am not perfected, but he says that I am going to press on so that he may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has for him. Notice what Paul is trying to tell us. Paul is trying to tell us that there was still work that he had to do on himself. And that's the attitude that kept him pressing on. He needed to continue to work on the things that was lacking in his life so that he might press on to that ultimate goal. I wonder tonight, if we need to take some realistic looks at ourselves and look at the things that we need to continue to add to our faith so that we may be able to stay strong in the Lord and continue to press on to the ultimate goal. You know, one way for us to continue to keep ourselves humble is to take that realistic self-examination of ourselves. Because it can be very easy to get big-headed. It can be get very easy for Christians to get puffed up. You know, just because we don't live like we used to, and thank God that we don't, but we need to be careful to not get puffed up thinking that we can't fall back to where we once came from. Because it is so easy sometimes to get entangled with sin once again. And then sometimes in our lives, we begin to think down on other people, thinking that because maybe they don't have the knowledge that we have, that we must have already perfected that everything that God wants us to know and God wants us to do. And the very people who get that way are the ones that find themselves sometimes falling into situations that they thought that they would never fall into. Because as sure as we live on this earth, trials and tribulations are going to come. James talks about this. Turn your Bibles over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at what he says here. Verse number 2. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." He says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, as we go through this life, we're going to be tested with many things in life. And it's not so much things that are going to be sinful. We're going to be tested with just the normal things of life. You ever lost a loved one? That's a test of your faith. Because sometimes we just don't understand, why did they have to die? Why did it have to happen this way? Why does God take good people out of the earth? Could be a test of your faith. Because at times we have to realize that things just happen. You ever lose a job? You know, I used to think, and some people sometimes think that, well, I'm a Christian, everything's going to be fine, I tell you what, ain't no trouble's ever going to come in my life. You know, let your company lay off 3,000 people, as I have seen done. And guess what? Christians and non-Christians fall into that number. But it's a test of your faith. Because at least as a Christian, we'll know how to handle it better than those who are not. Because we're going to put our trust in the Lord, that the Lord will see us through. Where one door closes, another one may open. But I like what James says here. A little further on in the book of James, once again, he says that, and I'm going to get back here, I went back to my other text. But James says over here, in verse number 13, James chapter 1, he said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." You see, some people begin when they have problems in their lives, and they want to go and do things that aren't right. They claim that if God would have done for me what should have been done, then I wouldn't have fell into this situation. God knows I needed a job. God knows I needed to feed my family. So now in order to do this, I'm going to have to go steal that loaf of bread. I'm going to have to go steal that quart of milk to feed my family. And you want to know something? It's God's fault. But the Bible says God cannot be tempted, okay? He says, let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Let me tell you what happens when those things happen to you. Read the next verse. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desire. You see that? You see, when we lose faith in God, we'll begin to believe that we can do whatever we want to do because God is not looking out for us. But if we keep our trust in God, God will always be there for us and make a way. Doesn't the Bible say that? God will always make a way of escape. We just need to trust in him. So now, back to Philippians chapter 2. We need to take sometimes a realistic self-examination of ourselves, not get puffed up. But we need to understand that as we move along in this Christian life, there is always still work for us to do on ourselves. In verse number 13, The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he said, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. He said, I do not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I like that when he said that. He said, listen, I haven't made it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not where I want to be. He said, but there is one thing I do. This idea of this one thing, it's like having this single purpose of mind. This single purpose of mind to remain faithful. And we need to have a single purpose of mind in order for us to serve God and to do His will. Like I said this morning, Christianity is just not some sideline hobby. It's something that we really should be addicted to. We need to be addicted to Christ. Now, there's a lot of addictions that people have. Some good, some all right. I mean, if you're addicted to drugs, not so good. You're addicted to alcohol, not so good. You're addicted to smoking, not so good. You're addicted to sports, okay. You might be all right. Depends on if you put that before the Lord. And I'm guilty of that. I love watching football. I really do. But I'm not going to put that before the Lord. But there's a lot of things that people can be addicted to. But the one thing for a Christian that we should be addicted to is addicted to Christ. And if we do that, all those things, as Jesus would say in Matthew 6 and 33, but if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. And then, if we continue to read in the text at verse number 13, he says, but I do one thing. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, in our lives, we come from different places, different stages of life, different experiences. But we need to remember that we need to, in our sinful life, forget those things which are behind. Now, there are some things that we need to remember. But there are some things that we need to understand that are warnings for us. You remember the story of Lot's wife? When she was told to leave, and him and her and Lot was told to leave Sodom, what was the one command that God gave to them? Don't look back. And what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. Now, some have said that maybe she was just so distraught about what was being left behind. Maybe there were some still relatives that might have been there. Maybe there were some things that she thought that she could have taken with her. We don't know, but the thing is, she disobeyed God and paid the price. She looked behind. Now, when we talk about leaving things behind, we need to realize that we need to leave our past sins behind. We need to leave our failures behind. And don't get me wrong, there is some value in remembering the past so that we can appreciate God's grace. We can say, thank God that I'm not who I used to be, because by the blood of Christ and my obedience to his word, I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. So if I ever look back at where I used to be, it's so I can appreciate what I am right now. But there are some who like to look back at their sinful life and begin to wonder and begin to think about how much fun I had, some of the things that I used to do. Well, those things were leading you to assured destruction and death. Isn't it better to know that we are on our way to a better way, to a better path, to a better way? And then we have some who continue to dwell on their failures in life. And sometimes it gets us to feeling as if we're not worthy to be with God. Now, we need to understand this, is that when we have been forgiven by God, the Bible says that we have been freed from guilt and the burden of sin. Why? So that we can serve God acceptably. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." When we have that promise from God, when we have obeyed the gospel, when we have repented of our sins and come and been baptized into Christ, and we raise up the walk in the newness of life, we put away the sinful life. There is no sense in looking back at where you've been or the failures of your life, because God has cleaned them up. There is no condemnation in those who walk in Christ Jesus. I think of the scripture in Psalms chapter 103 and verse number 12, where the psalmist writes, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." I used to remember some old-time preachers I grew up around. They used to say, you know, if you come before God and you say to God, after you have obeyed the gospel, and you say to God, "God, you remember what I used to do?" God said, "No, I don't. No, I don't. Yeah, but I was just such a bad, but I don't remember." Because you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. As far as the east from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. And then, in the last part of that text, it says, Paul says, "I leave it behind because," look what he says, "I am reaching forward to those things which are ahead." You know, I was thinking about this, and some of your verses might have "stretching forward." And it reminded me of a runner. I know you guys have seen track meets and the Olympics and all that. And it reminded me of a runner. And you ever notice, like, when they're running and they're getting there right to that goal line, they stretch their body forward to be the first one to get to that tape so they can win that race. And as Christians, as we continue to run this race, we need to be stretching forward, leaning forward, reaching forward to make it to that ultimate goal. And that ultimate goal is heaven. You want to live a faithful life? Examine yourself daily. Make an effort to look at yourself. Make an effort to continue to grow in your faith so that you are able to continue to be humbled by yourself and know that in every day that we live, we still have work to do. Make yourself some specific goal. Want to be a better mother or father? then make the specific goal to follow and raise your children the way the Lord says to do so. You want to be a preacher one day, young man? Then set your mind on the things of God. And not even young men, how about some of us older men? Maybe it might be a second career for us to preach the word of God. But you have to set your goals in order to do so. You know, when I talk about setting goals, it's putting the things in order that you need to do to be successful at what you want to do. You want to preach, you want to teach, you need to study. You need to get the resources to do what is needed to be done in order for you to grow. I'm going to mention this, okay? This morning we had a Bible class Brother Jack taught, right? And he brought up this book of Josephus, and when he brought it up, I said, yep, I got that book at home, okay? A historical writer that validates what we see in the Bible, because, you know, people will always try to say, well, the only stories that we know about God and all this stuff is only from the Bible. What about other sources? Well, there are other sources. But in order to be a good teacher, you have to know where to find it, study it, so you can bring it and teach it. Just like Brother Jack did this morning. And it validated some of the stories that we know, and we can say to the world, listen, there is historical record on this. Not that we have to validate God's word, but there is historical record on it. And now let's look at the book and see what it says that we need to do. But you don't get that by being lazy and not studying the word of God. You know, there's some preachers I remember growing up and listening to them, and denominational preachers, and maybe even some in the Church of Christ might think this way. But they claim that they just open up the Bible and the Holy Spirit is going to give them what they need to say. And maybe they might preach a good sermon, but don't let them fool you. They've studied the Word of God. They just want to make you believe that they've got something more powerful than you have. Listen, if it wasn't for this book, I wouldn't be up here preaching because I wouldn't have nothing to say. Nothing to say. I used to say, I'm nothing but a parrot, copycat. I'm using God's word. This is God's word that I'm using. If it wasn't for that, I would have nothing to say because you wouldn't want to hear my opinions. We need to study to show ourselves approved under God. So you set goals. You want to teach. You want to preach. You want to serve the Lord. Study his word. Learn his word. Live his word. But you know, you can't get started with that until you obey his word. Now, there might be some here tonight who haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe it's time for you to make that decision to do so. Maybe it's time for you to come by faith in God. Believe that God has sent his son Jesus to die for your sins. Believe in him. Believe in Christ. And then you need to repent of your sins. Repentance is that change of heart. I've wronged God. I'm a sinner. I recognize this. Now I want to change my life. And then you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because like I said this morning, whether you confess it or not, he still is. And after you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to come and be baptized. That is to be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Not because you're already saved, but as Peter would say in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You want to be saved. You need to follow the steps of God. Because it is God that puts forth the plan. It is God that made the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, for you. And now it's up to you. God did his part. Will you do your part? If you are here and you have strayed away from the Lord, it is time for you to come back, to come follow the Lord once again, to do what is you know is right in your heart. Ask the church for prayers. Repent of your sins. Be a part of this wonderful family of God once again. We have a song prepared for the invitation. If you need to come, please come right now.